I don't know what it is, and people have asked me, what does your, like, motivation come from? Like, is it, like, are you inspired by people? It's like, yeah, sure, I'm inspired by people, but that's not my biggest source of motivation. And I think just from a very young age, even though I didn't do sports or anything like that, I just found myself to be very intrinsically motivated. And whenever I put my mind to something, I was going to commit 100% and see where that road would take me.
That is Dhruval Patel, and if you've never heard of him, that's okay. It's hard to keep up with the sport on all levels. You need like 3 or 4 different subscriptions to watch a sport live, and then you've got to end up on obscure websites to catch live results sometimes. So forgive me for not paying as much attention to the NCAA Division III level. I have a hard enough time keeping up with Division I results and races. So this episode goes out to all the Division III listeners after a few people tweeted at me and requested to have Drew on the show. It's happening. I'm Chris Chavez, and you're listening to the City of Smack podcast. Before we get to today's show, a reminder, this episode of the City of Smack podcast on the City of Smack podcast network is brought to you by the Rambling Runners' new podcast called Road to the Olympic Trials. The show's on a roll right now. They had 2 episodes released in the past week featuring friend of the pod, Lou Serafini, and NAZ Elite's Kellen Taylor. Her episode is awesome. She dives into her training under Coach Ben Rosario, the build toward her 226 personal best, and she provides a little bit of a preview of the marathon trials course, which many people are calling one of the most challenging ever. So hear what she has to say about it. I also find her road to the trials particularly interesting because she was 4th in 2016. So I always like to see how the person who is just one spot out of making an Olympic team rebounds 4 years later. Join her on her journey. Join Lou on his journey. That's Road to the Olympic Trials, presented by The Rambling Runner. Check them out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, and Google Podcasts. I will include a link to those pages in the show notes as well. My guest for today's episode is Dhruval Patel. He is a 13-time Division III All-American, a 6-time national champion, and a 5-time national team champion out of North Central. He owns a 13:51 5K personal best and a 28:50 10K PR. So immediately on this episode, I make a fool out of myself by confusing Division II and Division III by saying that North Central was in Division II. I was totally wrong. But that just goes to show you how under the radar he was and just how overlooked he was. We'll talk about how he found such great success at North Central and under Coach Al Karius, how he carried that Division III label with him, and what's the path forward look like for someone like him looking at a post-collegiate professional career. So we touch on that and much, much more. So without further ado, here is Dhruval Patel.
And now we welcome on Drew to the podcast. Drew, it's time to show D2 some love. So welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. It's actually North Central is D3. Yeah.
Oh, D3. See, like I didn't even know that.
D3. Yeah. Small D3 school.
All right. So that kind of like proves my point. I feel like you're one of the more overlooked runners in the NCAA just because it's not Division I. Yeah. So to kind of put it all together, 13 D3 All-American titles, right. 6 national champions, 5-time national team titles, 13:51 for the 5K, 28:50 for the 10K. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
So you just closed your career at North Central,
right?
When I list off all those accomplishments, how do you feel about it?
You know, it's kind of a surreal feeling, and you know, coming out of high school, I wasn't the greatest, obviously, athlete. You know, I was a 9:20, 3,200 meter runner and a 4:21, 4:20, 1,600 meter guy. So, you know, out on country in the U.S. especially, there's a lot of guys around that, you know, area, probably hundreds of other kids. But to come to a program such as North Central and have a coach and a team environment which was so supportive and caring and kind of getting there. It's been really great, and I wouldn't trade my experience for the world.
So let's take a couple steps back. How far back does your running career really go? Because I know you ran in high school, but there's a turning point, really, that, I mean, I think I read online, it's, at one point you said your PR was above 20 minutes for the 5K.
Yeah, that was my freshman year of high school. Prior to that, I only did 1 year of soccer in middle school. Otherwise, I didn't really do any sports up until then. And coming into high school, I wanted a fresh start. And I asked my sisters, and like, hey, like, I want to do a sport. What should I do? And we went to the same high school, but they're much older than me. And they said, hey, go try for cross country. Like, the coach is really great. I think you'll really like it. And I showed up, and I didn't know what it was about. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And started from there. The first day of practice, couldn't run a mile and a half without walking or cramping.
What? So why stick with it?
So, you know, freshman year, my family was like, yeah, you know, if you're going to do a sport, you gotta stick to it at least one whole season. I'm like, okay, yeah, I could do that. And then, you know, I started showing up to practice, kind of like the guy, you know, I like the guys on the team, love the coach. And I started to like running slowly, even though I wasn't, you know, the greatest guy on the team or probably one of the worst guys at the time. But November of my freshman year of high school, so like three months into high school, my dad unexpectedly passed away. And, you know, I found out that running kind of just made me feel better. It was a good escape from reality. And there was a trail right near my house. So I run it all the time. So it was just kind of good to get out the house and kind of free my mind and kind of put that emotional burden away for at least a little bit, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, that kind of emotional escape that running provides, how do you get that to translate into actually doing structured training?
Right. So after that, my coach was, you know, my coach obviously found out, and he was like, hey man, like, I know you're going through a tough time, but just show up to practice and, you know, we'll have fun with it. So, you know, he'd give me workouts and I would do them, not to the best of my ability. And kind of, I would get this kind of, you know, feeling of euphoria after completing a workout. I was like, man, this feels great. So anytime I'd finish a workout, I'd be like, all right, you know, I can't wait for the next one. I can't wait for the next one. I can't wait for the next one. So it kind of slowly started transitioning into this, okay, I'm going from running for, you know, an emotional escape. And now I'm just kind of running because I love working out. You know, I love the atmosphere and my teammates. And I just truly started to love running itself.
And this is all happening in Illinois?
Yeah, this is all happening in Illinois.
What high school was that?
Niles North High School.
I don't know like too many specifics of like the just kind of, you can get really deep into the Illinois like high school scene, but I, from what I've gathered, I went to Marquette University, which is just up in Milwaukee, and there was a lot of guys on the track and cross country team there who came from Illinois. I get the feeling that it's definitely one of the deeper states when it comes to distance running.
I would say so. You know, we usually have a lot of good national caliber runners. And, you know, in the state, there's three divisions. There's 1A, 2A, and 3A, with 1A being the smallest, 2A being in the middle, and 3A being the larger schools. And so while at Niles North was a 3A school, so we were in the largest division, which also made it kind of the hardest division to qualify for and for state track and state cross country as well. But yeah, we've had really good runners, you know, obviously Evan Jaeger, some Illinois guy, you know, Chris Derrick is from Illinois, and so some reputable names. And in recent years, you know, we have guys like Dylan Jacobs and Danny Kilrea. They both go to Notre Dame right now. So, you know, we've definitely had our fair share of historic runners, you know, and even Craig Virgin. I'm pretty sure he's from Illinois. He has a school state record at the state course. So, yeah, definitely a deep state and super tough to do well in, especially if you're trying to be an all-state or, you know, something along those lines.
So where did you find yourself by the time senior year rolled around?
Yeah, so by the time senior year rolled around, it was actually kind of, you know, high school was obviously going pretty rough, you know, after a rough start. And then kind of my coach developed esophageal cancer by the end of my freshman year. And, you know, that was a guy I obviously looked up to as a father figure, and he was, you know, always there for me and super supportive. And from day one, you know, he was like, you know, I believe in you. You're going to be a great runner. And kind of that, just to have someone who told me that, even though I was running really slow, it just made me feel good and, you know, made me feel like I could do anything. And so my coach passed away my beginning of my junior year. and we got a new coach, and he actually was an alum from North Central. But, you know, just so kind of a rough couple, rough 3-4 years actually in high school. Not the best of times, but running made it bearable for sure. And then by the time senior year rolled around, I eventually qualified for my state meet. I ran 14:51, and I placed 26th at the state meet, which is one place out of being all state. So it's kind of a bad, not to say the worst way. Obviously, I was happy with my progression from freshman year to senior year, but it sucked that I missed being an all state by one place. But in a way, you know, I think that's one of the best things to ever have happened to me. I feel like that caused me to be, you know, overlooked by a lot of schools. And sure, there was some interest from Division I schools and whatnot. But ultimately, my choice to go D3 and go to North Central, such a historic coach, kind of worked out at the end. And yeah, in terms of track, I also qualified for the state meet, which was great. And ended up running 9:20 for the 3200 and 4:20 for the 1600. So pretty good. I was pretty happy with those times. Obviously not good enough to get a full D1 scholarship or anything like that, but I was happy from where I started to where I ended my high school career.
That brings me right into the next question, just kind of how many calls did you get from colleges? Because that is a very solid showing, but in the end, you did end up choosing to go to a Division III school. And I think back to, I guess, one of the more popular articles that we've had on Sidious was this article that this guy Andrew Wise wrote, and it was called "The Strange Magic of Division II Track and Field." Mm-hmm. And it was that a lot of people don't choose Division II; you just end up there,
right,
by some circumstance. And it's very interesting how the times differ from Division I to II and III. So, I mean, how do you feel, I guess, about the Division III label? And is it something that you chose, or just somehow is the circumstance that you ended up at?
Right. So at the time, I was kind of deciding between a couple D1 schools who were interested in me, and the only D3 school I was considering going to was North Central. Although I was kind of really reluctant on that. My coach after the cross country state meet, I was like, you know, it was like, hey, let's go visit North Central. I think you really like it there. You really like the team and the coach. And I'm like, all right, coach, you're just saying that because you're biased. You're an alum. Obviously, you want me to go there. And I was in that, I think that mentality where a lot of kids get is, you know, D1 or bust, like D1 is the only thing for me, and kind of they overlook all these other great opportunities that are available to them if they're willing to look and willing to take, you know, a visit to these schools and see what they're actually about instead of just reading about them online or just viewing other people's opinions on them, because you got to really go to a college to get a feel for it, obviously. But yeah, there are a couple other schools, and then I, you know, ultimately after visiting North Central and meeting with Coach Al Karius, I could tell, you know what, this is the guy who's going to get me to where I want to go. He's known for developing, you know, athletes. I think in his time at North Central, he's been there for now for what, 53 years? So pretty long time. And he's won over 30 national titles, had so many individual national champions, and has coached over 300 All-Americans. And his biggest pride and joy is just kind of, his slogan is just saying, you know, running for fun and personal bests. And he's taken 10-32 milers from high school into being D3 All-Americans and 14:30 guys and 5K and whatnot. And for 10:30 guys in high school, that's really impressive. So definitely felt like, you know, this guy is going to get me to where I want to go. And that's where I ultimately made my biggest decision. It was based off the coach. And I felt like, you know, I could get an education anywhere I wanted to. But to find a guy who's so passionate and in it for just purely the sport, not even, there was never any pressure for me to perform at any time in my career at North Central. So that was the biggest thing for me, is the coach, and I don't regret my decision.
So the coach played a major role, but then I'm very curious, what's the sell like when it's you and a recruit? Someone comes in and they also, I mean, you just said how there's that hope that it's always D1 or bust. When a recruit comes in and you have this conversation with them about trying to sell North Central to them, is the conversation as explicit and as upfront? It's like, listen, it's D3, but here's why it's good.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think a lot of recruits come in with knowing that, hey, we're D3, but we're also a really, really, you know, top of the line premier D3 program who always competes against, you know, good, you know, mid tier to sometimes upper tier Division One programs. And the biggest sell is that on the team culture, you know, that's the one thing that really stood out to me when I went to North Central. We have a pretty big team because our coach, you know, doesn't believe in cuts or making, you know, anyone, you know, kicking anyone off the team. Is, you know, as long as you like to run and you love to run, he'll put you on the team, and you don't even have to have any experience necessarily in high school to run on that team. So that we sell it as a team culture, and, you know, we're a group of 40 guys who, you know, go through everything together. You know, every morning we go off for, you know, our shakeout runs at 6:30. We eat breakfast together. We have classes together, you know, lunch and dinner and working out, obviously. And so we really sell it as a team friendly and family environment. And we are really supportive. And through that, you know, we have grown, and it's kind of shown throughout our race performances, our individual performances, team finishes at nationals. And you know what? North Central, straight up, I'm gonna be honest, is an expensive school. It's a Division III private school. It's, I think, tuition's now $51,000 a year. And obviously, with it being D3, there's no athletic scholarship whatsoever. So, you know, they are pretty nice about the academic scholarships, depending on your grades. But still, that's the hardest thing for North Central is, okay, it's a great school. Yes, we've had so many kids be like, man, I really want to run at North Central, but it's the tuition that's kind of killing my option of going here. And this other school's offering, you know, some Division One schools obviously offer partial scholarships, or NAIA schools. Like, I'm going to go up here because of the tuition, and it's nothing against North Central, but it just comes down to a money standpoint. So just selling it as a good team-friendly environment and a program that develops people as well as athletes.
It all kind of reminds me of this trip I took to Adams State in 2013. I did the documentary with FloTrek at the time, where it was just kind of diving into that team culture, where Adams State is at the Division II level, this cross-country powerhouse, and sometimes when they get the chance to perform at the Division I stage, whether it's like a Roy Griak or like one of these cross-country meets, they really see it as an opportunity to show out and see just like where they stand, stack up against everyone. And I just remember one of the conversations I had with Coach Damon Martin at the time was asking him whether he felt that he had a chip on his shoulder, because so many of the athletes in his program shared that they had this chip on their shoulder, and that was part of the reason why they ended up there. At the Division III level, did you feel something similar? And just because you finished that one spot out of, you know, being all state, and did you notice anything from the rest of your teammates having something similar to that?
Yeah, I definitely think so. A lot of us guys were overlooked, and we recruit a lot of 1A and 2A guys, which are much smaller schools and kind of more urban areas. So we got, you know, guys growing up on farms and whatnot, and, you know, small communities like that. So they definitely have a chip on their shoulder when they come in. It's like, man, I want to work hard, and I want to prove to, you know, the rest of the nation that I'm a good runner, that we can do this. And definitely, you know, we carry ourselves to a higher expectation. And obviously there are people in D1 and D2, I'm sure, that, you know, kind of brush us off and think, you know, they would get crushed at Division One Nationals or whatever. And we're not saying that. Whenever that argument comes up, we're not saying that we could beat the best of the best. We're not saying that we could beat NAU or Stanford, and no one's saying that. But we're saying that we'll act, you know, given the chance, we will be a competitive. We'll be, you know, a competitive in D1 or D2. And I know this last year we did, you know, the race, the D1 race over in Louisville, and yeah, you know, pre-nats was up at Nettie Combe at the time, but you know, we ended up winning that race as a team. And It was such a good moment, and one of my favorite moments, and it kind of just proven that, like, hey, like, we can definitely compete in Division One. So we do have that chip on our shoulder whenever we go out to perform, because, you know, as it's funny, I was at this Run Pro Camp this past weekend, you know, kind of getting to learn more about the professional running world and whatnot, making my transition, and just talking to Ben Rosario. We had a good one-on-one conversation, and he was saying, you know, it's a good thing and a bad thing that you're in this Division III bubble. And thing about the Division III is, like, everyone knows who North Central is. And while I was at that camp, nobody knew really who North Central was besides maybe one or two people. So I had to constantly explain, because they would be asking us, like, oh, how good is North Central? Oh, how good is your team? Oh, you know, what you guys do and whatnot. And so I had to constantly, you know, remind myself, like, hey, like, even though we're a really good program, we still, you know, are overlooked. We still are not known about because of that kind of Division III label, and obviously not getting the chance to compete in D1 or D2 meets all the time.
Yeah, my buddy RJ McNichols did a whole documentary on you guys, and I feel like it just like exactly what you said. That I feel like people only really recognize you guys as like, I mean, they're a historic program and they've got really cool uniforms, but then that's about the extent of where their knowledge goes.
Exactly. Our flow track, we did flow track, came for a workout Wednesday during cross this year. So, you know, that got some exposure and some people knew about that. But other than that, it was just kind of, yeah, it was D3 school. I'm sure they do well for D3, but who really cares, you know?
When you have those meets against the Division I schools, I mean, I'm sure it's circled on your guys' calendar, but the talk ahead of those races, what's that like among you and your teammates?
You know, we have the same approach to every single race, and our goal is to never perform, you know, obviously we want to perform well, but our goal is to never, you know, taper for a specific meet, unless it's nationals, obviously. But, you know, we just go into the meet, it's like, hey, we're going to run our race. People can do whatever they want to do, and that's just fine. But we're just going to run the classic North Central race, and at the end of the day, we're going to perform well because we are sticking to our race routine. We are doing whatever we can control and kind of letting other people do that. And that's the biggest thing. I think that's why we've been so successful, is that no matter the conditions, no matter who's racing and who's in the race, who we're racing against, what the title of the race is for, it's we go with the same mindset that we're going to do great, we're going to stick to our race plan, and we're going to run together with our teammates. Because ultimately, to win cross country, and even though people think it's an individual sport, and yes, to an extent it is, but to win a cross country meet, to win a national title, to win a conference title, whatever it may be, as a team, you need to perform well together, and you need to get to know your teammates, and you need to run with your teammates. So that's our biggest strength, and that's how every talk goes before we run our races. We run our own North Central style race, and whatever happens at the end of the day, it happens. As long as you're putting in the best effort, that outcome will come.
Let's dive into, I guess, what is like a North Central race, because I mean, I guess you worked with Coach Alcarius, you said just how accomplished he was. I have this tweet pulled up from this is back in January, so I'm sure he probably added more accomplishments, but 19 NCAA Division III national team championships, won 7 of the last 10 championships, 15 national runner-up finishes, 4th or better at 40 of 45 Division III championship meets. And by the way, this is just cross country.
Right.
And then in track, 11 Division III team championships, 6 outdoors, 5 indoor, 7 team titles with him as head coach. And he won the cross country and indoor and outdoor track and field titles from 2009 to 2010. And then in this tweet, there's just, it goes on and on and on about his accomplishments. I thought it was very, very cool. To put it simply, he's a very respected coach. What does his philosophy boil down to? And what's the biggest thing you learned from working with him?
His biggest philosophy is just running. You know, I mentioned earlier, his slogan is running for fun and personal best. He's the type of guy who wants people to enjoy running. He doesn't want to force people to come to practice. He doesn't want to tell people what to do. He's like, as long as you show up and you're having fun and you yourself are putting in that work and you are intrinsically motivated, you're going to run well. And just believing in the program, believing in your teammates. And he's just a very laid back coach. He's pretty much like, it's come to the point in the program where it's so self-sufficient and the older guys know what to do and set the culture that him coach. Yes, he coaches every day, but he's an extremely good motivator. And with him, you know, I'll quote one of our alums, Patrick Rizzo. He's a professional runner and whatnot. But with him, I felt like I could move a mountain. You know, every day he'd give some sort of not inspirational speech, but, you know, speech, giving a lesson on life and whatnot. And he develops people before he develops athletes. He wants us to be successful because he knows that running's only a part of our life and that after 4 years, many of us are not going to be running. So he wants us to, you know, he wants to set you up for a post-collegiate life and kind of just learning that from him and learning what he has to say and his perspective is so refreshing, and especially a world where things are so, you know, outcome oriented. People are always looking to get something from someone or something from something all the time. So that's why I think he's successful, because he motivates his athletes and he doesn't really care about performances. And the best thing that you could do on the team is not win a national title. It's not win a conference title, not win a race, but just to PR and just to have fun with the teammates. And that's what made it such a good environment to train in.
That's so interesting, because I feel like it'd be the opposite. I feel like there'd be pressure,
right,
with this expectation of winning when he's created such a big culture of winning.
Right. No, you would think that. And I think a lot of people think that. And even I thought that coming in. I was like, man, there's going to be a ton of pressure. Like, this is a good program. There's always going to be pressure. But there was never any pressure. There was never any moment where I was pulled aside before a national meet, before a conference meet. Like, hey, you need to go win this. I was never, ever told that. Or I was never ever told, hey, you know, this is all on you. You're like, you better perform well. I was never told that. And I think that's what made me so successful there and made our team so successful. And he's just such a laid back and goofy guy. He just always does pranks and whatnot. And I think that's why he's so loved by the community. And we have so many alums and so many people respect him because of that. And, you know, I talk about summer training programs. I know some coaches have, all right, this is what you got to do every single day. And this is what you should be doing here and there and whatnot. Al Carey's summer plan, if anyone's interested, is just go run. Never in my 4 years has he gave me specific workouts to do, what kind of mileage to run, what to do every day. You just go out there and make sure you run twice a day, and that's it.
Did you end up setting high standards for yourself? I mean, just once you got your first bite of success, and then afterwards trying to sustain that?
Oh, very much so. I came in the summer before I came in. I had this little goal sheet posted on my wall. And it's like, all right, I have some pretty high expectations. You know, I wanted to run a 14:25K, which, coming from a guy, you know, Illinois doesn't do 5K for cross country, a 14:51 3 miler is like 15:30. So the PR a minute in a year making a transition to college is a lot to ask for. And I wanted to be an All-American and whatnot. And yeah, I definitely had high expectations for myself. And I think a lot of that comes from just being intrinsically motivated and, you know, kind of saying to myself, hey, like, I'm going to be great, I'm going to be great, I'm going to be great, and kind of repeating that to myself. And obviously there are days where I'm like, man, like, I don't feel great, like, I don't think I'm doing the right thing. But at the end of the day, definitely, you know, worked itself out no matter the doubts I had. And, you know, you're lying to yourself if you've never had any doubts in you. You know, there's always comes a point in time in your life, like, man, am I doing the right training? Am I make the right choice? But yeah, I just always, I don't know what it is, and people have asked me, oh, what does your, like, motivation come from? Like, oh, is it, like, are you inspired by people? I was like, yeah, sure, I'm inspired by people, but that's not my biggest source of motivation. And I think just from a very young age, even though I didn't do sports or anything like that, I just found myself to be very intrinsically motivated. And whenever I put my mind to something, I was going to commit 100% and see where that road would take me.
This year, your big breakout race, I guess, would have been, is that the 5K at Stanford, where you ran 13:51 and took down a record that stood for 42 years. I mean, would you agree with that? That's been your biggest race of the year?
I think in terms of 2019, it's either that one or when I went out to Stanford prior for the 10K at Stanford Invitational, I PR'd by a minute in the 10K. I ran 28:50. And last year, you know, I've only run four 10Ks in college. And last year, I ran two. I ran one in a meet where I qualified for nationals, and then I won the national meet running 29:47. And then I came out to Stanford and I PR'd and ran, you know, 28:50, so almost a minute PR. So those two are you know, definitely the greatest races of my senior year, but I've had more, I think, meaningful races earlier in my college career.
But this 13:51, I guess, what led to it? What made it happen? And first off, I mean, when I don't know too much of the history, but why did that record stand for so long?
That's a good question of why that record stood for so long. The guy who said it, you know, Dan Henderson from Wheaton College, which is actually a few miles away from North Central, you know, great guy, coach is awesome. But I honestly don't know why, you know, if people have come close to it. We have actually had our own North Central alum who's in the 1990s named Dan Meyer, and he was a stud. He ran 13:53 indoors, and he's a 28:48 10K guy, so he came pretty close to breaking that. But I honestly cannot tell you why it hasn't been broken. We've had so many talented runners. I mean, in terms of D3, I mean, of course, you had Nick Simmons and Will Lear, but so many talented runners come through D3, but it's just never been done. And to do that, it was awesome. But I wouldn't, you know, it was a long build up to it, definitely.
What were the workouts before that that kind of indicated that this was possible? And then when did you realize that it, you know, setting this record could have been possible?
So that kind of goes back to my sophomore year in college. I ran the Drake Relays, and I was coming off a pretty good indoor nationals my sophomore year. I was seated 15th, which is the last possible position to get into the national meet for both the 3K and 5K. And I ended up getting, you know, and this was, we held it at North Central, which is awesome too. And I ended up getting second in that 5K at nationals. I was like, holy crap, like this is my breakthrough. And the next day I came back and I doubled and I got seventh, and I was a 2-time All-American by then. And I was like, oh man, like this is crazy. Like, I can't believe this happened. And I think that was my biggest breakthrough. And then when I went to Drake, I ran 14:15. And, you know, it's funny, all throughout my sophomore year, throughout my 5K campaign, indoors and outdoors, I was PRing every single 5K. And I came to Drake and I had my biggest PR and I ran 14:15. I was like, wow, like that was awesome. And then I remember outdoor nationals, you know, I was pretty hyping myself up, and this is where kind of all went downhill. I was hyping myself up, I was like, man, I can't wait. I'm going to do well. I think I'm going to win, you know, whatnot. And I bombed. I got 10th. I got 10th. I walked off the track so disappointed, and it was a 6-hour bus ride on the way back, and just sitting there, I'm like, man, that was a bad way to end my career, a sophomore career. And I remember talking to Al Kerr, like, man, I'd never want to feel that way ever again. I'm not going to let that happen to myself ever. And then later on, when I got back to campus, a week later, I was in his office and I told him, hey, I'm going to break 14 next year at Drake, you know, my junior year. And, you know, junior year comes around, I ended up third at Cross Natch, which was about a 15-place improvement from sophomore year. I won my first national title my junior year indoors in the 5K, got fourth in the 3K the day after. And then Drake Relays comes around, and then I obviously ran 30 O's for at a 10K in between then. And then Drake Relays comes around, and the weather's a little windy, but we had two pacers, and Reed Fisher was in that race, and I ended up breaking 14. Like I said, I went around 13:58, which was an outdoor school record technically, because the indoor school record was 13:53. But to do that, it was, you know, to say it, I was going to do it last year, and to actually do it, I was like, all right, here, that's one step along the way. And then end of junior year, I won the 10K, which I don't think anyone expected me to win, because I was actually the third or fourth seed going in. But I won the 10K, but then I fell short in the 5K. I got fourth, so. Kind of sucked, but yeah, that's where it started. And then senior year comes around, I've, you know, training really well and whatnot, and end up going, you know, winning Cross Nationals, and my teammate Al Baldonado, who's also my roommate, got second. So to see, you know, to finish and then see it turn around and see him storming down there was great. And obviously we won our third national title in a row in the last 3 years. I think we scored 40 points, which was pretty good. Indoor Nationals comes around, we win a team title first and foremost, which is one of our goals, because my junior year, we won Cross Nationals. Indoor, we got second by a point, came down to the 4x4. Outdoors, we got second by a point, came to a 4x4 again, and it was to the same team. So close to that triple crown, but it was we fell short. And part of myself, I blame myself for my shortcomings, because I always wanted to perform for my team, and I was expected to win the 5K, and I didn't, so... But, you know, it's all in the past now, and it happens for, you know, whatever reason. And we won the international title this past winter in Boston. That was great. I got first in the 5K, so it was my second 5K title. And then this funny thing is, for indoor nationals this year in the D3 level, there's actually a prelim for the 3K. And I was the only guy in the entire D3 nation, you know, to do that double. So 1:30 rolls around on Friday, and I'm doing 3K prelims, and I qualify. Come back 5 or 6 hours later to run the 5K, sit until a mile to go, and then I just start taking off, and I win that. And I come back the next day, you know, and our coach comes up to me and my teammate, Nolan McKenna, is like, hey, we need 4 points to clinch the title. And it comes down to this, because we don't have a 4x4. I'm like, all right, yeah, coach, don't worry. We got this in the bag. And so I'm running. I'm like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to feel. You know, probably going to the race. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to feel. I had two races already yesterday. And so I run the race, and I got second. I actually ended up PRing, ran 8:16, which for me, I was happy with. I wasn't really expecting it. And my teammates got fourth, and that kind of sealed the deal. Then obviously Stanford came around at the end of March, PR'd there big time, and then the next big race was the 5K I ran in 13:51. And funny thing about that is a week before, for 5 days, I was in Cancun for my sister's wedding. So I was out there, you know, it's my sister's wedding. Like, of course, I want to have fun, and I know at the same time I have to train. So I would be out there, you know, six in the morning, you know, technically on vacation, be high, be humid, but I'd be running tempos or whatever, you know, just trying to get some work in and sneak in some, you know, some speed work just to get ready for the big race. And I came back Monday night, the week of that race. I came back Monday night. We flew out Thursday morning. So it's such a short turnaround. I was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do at this race. But, you know, I ended up doing really well. And maybe I could have done better if there wasn't, you know, so if I wasn't doing so much traveling or whatnot, but it is what it is, and I'm not using an excuse, but it was great, and yeah, that's how it happened.
So what does your family make of all of this, considering the fact that it was really, I mean, it was the passing of your father that really ignited all of this to happen, and like years down the road now, what's their reaction to the success that's come from it?
Yeah, so in high school, it started out when I started getting good. It's like, my mom was like, I don't, it's like, it's just running. Like, you know, like, why are you so into it? Like, why are you so obsessed with it? Like, you know, like, she thought I put too much time into practice, even though it was, like, the only extracurricular thing I did. And she didn't understand how, you know, how it worked out at the time, even though I explained it to her. My sister's kind of new, but, you know, they're still kind of, oh, okay, like, he's doing good. And I decided to run college, and like, all right, like, hey, like, you're our first college athlete in the family, like, congrats. But I don't think they had any expectations for me or had any, you know, idea of how good I would become. And now ever since, you know, the end of my sophomore year or, you know, beginning of my sophomore year, they're much more invested into it. And I've had so much more support and they totally get it now and they're on board. And to have that, you know, have that with me is such a, you know, a positive thing, you know, to have my mom at my meets and my national meets, to have my sisters there, my brother-in-laws, both of them are there, and they're super supportive and always cheering and making signs and whatnot. And even though I get embarrassed a little bit because I'm not used to my family always being at my meets, I definitely enjoy it. And you know, now as I'm making my, you know, transition into professional running, I know it's not going to be easy. Definitely know it's not going to be easy. But they're super supportive, and you know, they're going to be with me through it all, and I couldn't ask for anything more from them.
Right. And so what's the hope now? I mean, you wrapped up your eligibility, but there's also like no major market immediately for a Division III star, unless right. unless you happen to make some noise at like the US championships or so. But I mean, what are your plans, and where does someone in your shoes go from here?
Right. So I've been actually visiting a couple different, you know, professional running groups. So kind of just getting a feel for them, and, you know, they've shown interest in me, and I've talked to coaches. So that's been really cool. And going to this Run Pro Camp this past week in D.C. was really, really helpful. Good networking event. And it helps kind of being from North Central, actually, surprisingly, because there are a lot of we have a couple, three or four alums that are professional runners right now. And I mentioned Pat Rizzo earlier. He's a four-time Olympic qualifier. Represented the U.S. in the Pan Am Games, and you know, he's gotten me into touch with his agent, and his agent's been super helpful with me, and I've got somewhat of a decent backing and networking. I was surprised as how many people actually knew me when I was at this camp this past weekend. So just kind of making a name for myself is tough, but at the same time, it's a good challenge I'm looking forward to, and I've been using my resources, obviously, trying to get, you know, ideas on branding and, you know, racing and whatnot. And obviously I don't have the USATF standard for the 10K. I was 10 seconds off, but you know, that's all right. I figured, you know, I don't need to rush myself to get to that level. I do have a couple pro groups in mind that I'm deciding between right now. So I'm looking to make my decision by mid August or beginning September. But it's actually turned out pretty well. And there are a lot of options available to me, which is really nice. And I definitely, you know, like you mentioned, kind of overlooked. I've only raced against D1 competition a couple times, and a couple times I've done it, I've PR'd by a lot. So I still need to get used to racing that, because in that D3 bubble, I'm used to leading races, people keying off of me, and then I go to D1 races, I'm a nobody, you know? You push around, I'm a John in the pack, I'm like, okay, like, you know, I got to reestablish myself, and I'm looking forward to that, though. And I've been through a lot, obviously. I've started all the way at the bottom of the ladder and worked my way up to somewhat of the top in college, so starting with that over, I'm looking forward to it, definitely.
Yeah, you definitely give a lot of hope to those 20-minute 5K people like
oh,
me.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I hope I do. That's at the end of the day, you know, I'm actually coaching at a nearby high school right now, helping out with their summer program and stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, I just want kids to realize, like, everyone starts somewhere. And, yeah, you might not be the best, and it might take a long time. But if you put in the work, you're consistent, and you truly enjoy running at its core and, love, you know, running with your teammates and listening to your coaches, I think you'll get there eventually. And people have told me, like, oh, you're really talented. And maybe I am. I don't know. I just don't truly believe that, because I started off as a nobody and I've worked so hard to get to where I am right now.
That sounds awesome. All right, now let's get into the final questions I ask every guest. First one is, what is the meanest thing that you've read about yourself on letsrun.com?
Oh, jeez. Let's run. I wouldn't lie. I would be lying if I said I didn't occasionally go on Let's Run. People have, I don't doubt me. People, like, I don't ever post on there. So I remember after I ran 13:51 at Stanford, someone like mentioned, oh, Grant Fisher ran 13:29, closing 4:05, like all the Stanford guys did well. And someone mentioned me in a comment. I was like, oh, like Dhruval Patel did really well. Like, that's really good for him. And someone commented, oh, look at Dhruval Patel on here commenting about himself. He's still like a nobody. I'm like, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh man, that really hurts. Like, I don't want to talk about myself, obviously. But yeah, that kind of hurt to read a little bit.
All right. What is the funniest drug testing story you've got?
So I've only been drug tested once, believe it or not. I don't know if they really care about D3 in terms of drug testing, but yeah, I know. Right. It's kind of crazy. But I've only been drug tested once after winning the 10K, my nationals my junior year, but there wasn't really a story behind it. I'm like, they just took me, peed in the cup, and that was it. And surprisingly, I didn't get drug tested at all this year, even though I repeated in the double and did really well indoors, but not drug tested this year.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, yeah. No drug testing on a 6-time national champion except once.
Exactly. So I don't know, man. I don't think they care about us that much. They're trying to use that many of their resources on the G3 guys.
If you could go on a run anywhere in the world with anyone from history, assuming that you can hold a conversational pace with them, where would this run take place and who would it be with?
Oh, man, you know, that's a tough question. Historic runners, like, obviously there's a cliche, like, I'm a big Prefontaine runner.
Oh, it doesn't have to be a runner. It could be anyone. Be a celebrity, okay, yeah. Sweet,
awesome. Real tough question. Man, I'd probably say, like, the Dalai Lama or something like that, you know? See kind of his viewpoint on life. He seems like a pretty, pretty cool dude, in my opinion.
So, that'd be a good one. Where would the run take place?
I'm a big fan of the mountains. So somewhere in mountain, maybe Sweden, maybe Norway, somewhere up there.
That'd be good. That'd be a good one. Last one I've got has nothing to do with running.
Okay.
You get 25 shots from half court. If you make one, you win $25 million. If you don't make any, you go to jail for 25 years. Would you attempt the shots?
All right. Well, back in high school, I remember making 2 half-court shots in a row. So I'm going to take my chances. I'm gonna do it. Yeah.
Wow. Yep. Yeah. We just recently saw, like, I put the question out on Twitter responding to, like, some sort of thread. And then David Epstein, the author of The Sports Gene, just went off about just, like, kind of like the science behind it, the odds and other things. It got out of hand, but I'm glad to see that you're a big risk taker.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes you got to bet on yourself, man. You just got to bet on yourself.
All right, Drew. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
No, I appreciate you for giving me the opportunity to just share my story. And, you know, thanks. You guys are awesome. Your podcasts are great. So keep it up. And I'm looking forward to hearing more in the future.
Many thanks to Drew for taking the time for that interview. You can follow him on Instagram @Dhruval1114. I will include that in the show notes. As always, check out the other shows on the City of Smack Podcast Network. We debuted Showrunners with Scott Fauble last week with episode 1 that featured Stephen Kirsch and a discussion of No Country for Old Men. So if you like movies and you like runners, that is the new podcast for you. That's Showrunners with Scott Fauble. It's on Apple Podcasts. It's on Spotify. It's on SoundCloud. So check it out. The link is also included in the show notes. A new episode of Full Tub with Nick Roche is being recorded this week, so look out for that next week. Runners of NYC drops a new episode on Tuesday with Bex Gentry, which was really, really good. I can't wait to release that episode. Check out all the, I think it's 21 episodes now of Runners of NYC. I've been having a lot of fun with that. And we've got a live show coming up on August 1st if you are in New York City. Check out the Runners of NYC Instagram page for more information. Once again, a big thank you to our sponsor, Road to the Olympic Trials by The Rambling Runner. It's the latest show from their podcast network. Subscribe today. The links are also in the show notes. Everything you can want and more is in the show notes, so check that out. You know what else is there? A reminder to support the City of Smack podcast by pledging any dollar amount on Patreon so I can continue to have these conversations, take the time to edit these episodes, and keep bringing you some fresh content. Support cool people doing cool things. I'm just very slightly cool. That's patreon.com/citysmag. Any dollar amount is greatly appreciated. And before you shut off my voice, I urge you to take a quick second to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you like the show, it helps us continue being discovered by new listeners on the iTunes charts. We're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the moon landing this weekend. So I think that's where we want to take this show. Swipe up within the Apple Podcast app, take a minute to hit the 5 stars, and write something nice. My mom reads all of the nice reviews, and she calls me when there's good things said. She hasn't called me in a while, so let's change that. That does it for this episode of the City of Smack Podcast. I've been your host, Chris Chavez, wishing you some happy and healthy running. And as always, legs are feeling good.